Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 68. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 68, verses 1 through 6. Psalm 68, verses 1 through 6. Again, we'll read this passage responsively. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Jah, and rejoice before him, a father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. And let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, it seems like every week there are people being saved here. Lord, I'm glad I can raise my family in a church that every week somebody's getting saved. Lord, we saw something today that most churches will never see in a month or sometimes even in a year or more. And yet you just do it for us every week. Help us not to take it for granted. And Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, so we could go out and reach a dying world, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
The sermon this evening is called, Rebels Dwell in a Dry Land. Rebels Dwell in a Dry Land. Psalm 68, verse number 6 says, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. What a statement. The rebellious dwell in a dry land. The psalmist here has made a statement to us saying when we become rebellious, our life, our living turns into a dry land, or like a desert, if you will. In a dry land, it's referring to a lack of refreshment. Of course, a cold shower, a dip in the brook, the moisture of life. It's absent in the life of a rebellious person. A rebel has a dry life. A rebel's life is much like a desert where the rattlesnakes are and the cactus and the threat of the poison of the scorpion. Heat drains their spiritual body of its energy. The rebel feels scorched by the heat that they bring upon themselves. There's a burning. There's a dryness. There's no water. There's dehydration. The rebel will even find themselves hallucinating. You get out there in a desert. Anybody knows about the desert? You get out there, get your body dehydrated a little bit. You don't have the refreshment that you need. You have the heat baking your brain. What happens? They begin to see off in the distance. They say, look at that. I think I see right here in the middle of the desert an ice cream shop. And they crawl over there and find out there's no ice cream shop there. It's a hallucination. Let me tell you something. You rebel enough on God, you begin to hallucinate. You begin to think things that are not true. You'll begin to think things of people that are not true. Rebellion causes us to live as if we're out deserted, all alone, in a dry land. And that's exactly what the psalmist says. It says those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Do you see, out in the desert, out in that dry land, there's not a lot of people around. People don't live there. So there's a loneliness that is experienced when you're in that dry land. Now, there are other scriptures that refer to rebellion. And so I attend to this properly this evening. Jeff Owens is going to listen to this sermon tonight. Jeff Owens is going to apply the sermon to Jeff Owens. I think if I were you, rather than you investigating other people and using the old pitchfork technique of scooping up what I preach and throwing it to who you think deserves it, maybe I'll let that just fall right on top of you. And maybe you ought to examine you and you figure out if you're the rebel. We're so good at a sermon like this. Everybody says, well, I know who this is for. It's for you. It's for you. There are many references in the scripture to this thing of rebellion. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 2 says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. In Daniel chapter 9 verse number 5, it says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgment. In Numbers chapter 14, verse number 9, it says, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defiance is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. One of the most powerful verses in reference to this thing of rebellion is 1 Samuel 15:23, where it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's a powerful sermon. That the sin of witchcraft means that there are demonic spirits that get involved with something. You better watch how much you rebel. You're going to find yourself surrounded by spirits that enjoy being around rebellion, which are demonic spirits. In Psalm 68, verse number 6, the word rebellion, and that's the verse that says, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. That word rebellion there refers to those who were once doing right or heading down the right path, but now they've turned away from it. They were doing right, but they stopped. And they're now truth rejectors. Now, there are a lot of areas in which we can rebel. For instance, children can rebel against their parents. And children, the Bible says you're to obey your mom and dad. Children, you are to obey your mom and dad. Don't you turn your nose up at your mom and dad. You treat them with respect and you obey them. But the Bible says children can rebel. Teenagers, you're to obey mom and dad. I might need to say this to you. If you're 70 years old, you live in a house with your mom and dad, and they're paying the bills, you're supposed to obey them. As long as you live in their household, they're paying the bills. So you say, well, I'm 40 years old. I don't have to listen to my parents. If you're living in their house, then they're still mommy and daddy. They're not just mom and dad. They're mommy and daddy. They're taking care of you. You shouldn't rebel against them. Employees can rebel against their employers. Wives can rebel against their husbands. Followers can rebel against leaders. Church members, and I hate to say this, but church members can rebel against their pastor's authority. Christians can rebel against God. Now, I want to talk to us about the subject of rebellion for a little while. Rebels dwell, the Bible says, in a dry land. We don't want that for ourselves. I don't want that for me. You should not want that for you. But let me point some things out very simply in the scripture tonight. First of all, we should not rebel against God's word. Boy, you have a point like that in almost every one of your sermons. You're absolutely right. I believe in the authority of the Word of God. If I stand up here and try to say everything that I say with my personality, let's face it, that's not going to get us very far. But when we lean on the authority of the Word of God, that's powerful. We're not to rebel against the Word of God. Lamentations 1:18 says, the Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against His commandment. God said, don't rebel against God's commandment. And when you hear the word commandment, it's not talking about just the Ten Commandments. Everything in this book that is an expectation placed on us by God is a commandment. You say, how do we rebel against His commandment? Well, by refusing to obey it. That's an obvious. We rebel by rejecting its proper place in our life. I would like to say to everyone, I think we should all consider, instead of letting God's word be our last resort, how about make it our first resort? Usually people say, I tried everything and couldn't figure out what would work. And so finally did what the Bible said. Why don't you do what the Bible says the first time? Why spend a season of rebellion against the Word of God when He has the words of everlasting life? And the Word of God, it'll give you the guidance you need. We rebel by refusing to obey it. We rebel by not letting have its proper place in our life. We rebel against it by procrastinating our obedience. We rebel by bad-mouthing it. Let me tell you all something. In my life, there's something that I've done, and I'm very cautious of. And I would think it would be wise for all of us. Never make anyone have less confidence in the Bible. Never
Never. I lose respect very quickly of anyone who tries to get people to respect the Word of God less instead of more. You say, well, the Bible. Listen, if we get to heaven and God, if I get punished in heaven because we made too big about the big deal about the Bible, I'll take my spanking willingly. We get up there and God said, you just, the Bible. I'll say, I am so sorry, God. I was just trying to exalt Jesus all I could and exalt the Bible all I could. But I'll tell you something. I never want to make people have less confidence in the Bible, always wanting them to have more confidence in the Bible. But I want to recommend to us that we should not rebel against God's Word. Secondly, we should not rebel against the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Isaiah 63:10, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. Vexed the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you a question. When was the last time in a church service the Holy Spirit got a hold of you to where you couldn't almost take what was happening in church? You say, that's not happened to me in a long time. That's funny. I have people come to me, tell me service after service after service it's happening. How are you getting left out? How's it possible you're getting left out of that? You say, it's the preaching. Well, you can blame it if you want, but the preaching seemed to work for them. You're the one that's not being moved. Others are. Altars are full. Rededications of life. Revival in lives. You've just been a Christian so long, God doesn't speak to you like that anymore, does He? You just know so much. You know how the church ought to be run to the degree that it's going to take really something to get your attention. You might be shocked what the Holy Spirit's been trying to do in your life, but you've rebelled. You've rebelled. We rebel by ignoring His movement upon us. I'll be honest. I felt terrible yesterday afternoon. I've been in here at the church 7-8 hours, headed home. Was working in the yard. And the Lord spoke to my heart, said, make a phone call. I said, Lord, I've been doing what I do all week long, all morning long, all night long, all week long. And I said, I'll do it later. I didn't even do it. I was under such conviction when I woke up this morning that the Holy Spirit had told me to make one phone call yesterday that I did not make. And today I had to get right with God at the beginning of my day because I know that the Holy Spirit said, make the call. And I didn't. Did He tell you to do anything yesterday? Or the day before? Or basically, He said, what's the use? They're not going to listen to me. Has the Holy Spirit's beckoning fallen on deaf, numb ears to the point where everything is just the same old, and you come to tolerate church? We rebel by ignoring His movement upon us. We rebel by not submitting to the Holy Spirit's influence. We rebel by grieving Him or quenching Him, putting water on that fire. We rebel by not being sensitive to Him. And they vexed the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Let's be careful, see. We don't want to rebel against His Word. We don't want to rebel against His Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we should not rebel about seeking and in regard to seeking counsel or seeking it wrongly. Counsel. Rebellion. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 1 says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me. God said, you're rebellious if you seek counsel the wrong way. We rebel by getting counsel from the lost. We rebel by getting no counsel sometimes. We rebel by getting counsel from the carnal saved. We rebel by getting counsel from those that agree with us. There are people that are just looking for agreement. There are some folks that will never come and ask me about certain things because they know I'll disagree with them. So why go get disagreement? We can rebel by following our own counsel. There's some of you, even within our church, you're seeking counsel from the wrong kind of people. You seek counsel from the wrong kind of people within your own church. Let's be careful. The Bible says there can be an element of rebellion in us in regard to this issue of counsel. But not only that, we should not rebel in our thoughts.
Now, this is private rebellion. This is private rebellion. This is a rebellion your husband doesn't know about. It's there. He does not know it's there. He doesn't see it. He can't see inside you. This is a rebellion your wife does not know about. This is a rebellion that your parents don't know about. Isaiah 65:2 says, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Watch out for the quiet rebel. The quiet rebel. Everything taking place on the inside. Everything. Hey, they have to work at making gestures of loyalties, and they have to work at it to get that to surface to cover what's going on the inside. Some of you know what I mean. Inward rebellion eventually comes out. The Bible says, as the man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You say, well, this is what everybody thinks I am. This is my front. God said, you are what you are on the inside, not what you are on the outside. There are some of you that are very good at being separated on the outside, but you're rebellious on the inside. I can't read your mind, but I know somebody that can. I can just read facial expressions. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Rebellious thoughts eventually work their way out. I wish I had time to do a little study with you about it, but the Bible teaches that what you think eventually will overtake you. And you'll become a slave to that which you entertain in your mind. And so, be careful. We could be rebellious with our thoughts. Number five, we should not rebel by refusing to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 9 says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, that will not hear the law of the Lord. And the connotation here is not just them reading it. The connotation is the Word of the Lord is being spoken so they can actually hear it. Well, usually that's the preaching of the Word of God. We rebel by not coming to church. We rebel by not listening while we're here. Let me ask you, please, I beg of you, when you come to church, don't be texting. Amen. Turn the phone off while you're at church. I can't tell you how disheartening it is. I travel the entire country. It only takes me a moment to watch people. You pick up on them pretty quick. You can tell who's texting during the church service. And what's sad, there are people that will text from this side of the auditorium to the balcony. Right. Parents, I know you think that I'm this big, bad bully. But if I had a child, if I thought they were going to mess around with their phone during church, I would not allow it to be on the church property. And some of you kids say, you couldn't stop me. Son, I stopped my children when they lived in my household, and I would stop you too. I believe parents run the home. Oh, that rebellion, though. That rebellion in regard to the Word of God. Not coming to church to hear it. Not listening while we are here. Hearing it, but not acting upon it. Folks, did you know that the preaching of the Word of God is not just for us to examine the Bible. It's for us to live it. To live it. When we hear something that needs to be applied to our life, we ought to apply it and as quick as we possibly can. Number next. I think we can rebel by putting His law behind our backs. I found this scripture and it interested me. I can't explain it all the way. Maybe the Holy Spirit could give you an explanation about it better than mine. But listen to this verse. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 26, the first part of the verse says, Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs. It looks to me like someone is trying to get something out of their view. There's something that's being preached and they're doing everything they can to ignore it. There's something that you don't want to submit to. So the minute I begin to preach on it, you go into that mode of ignore. Got to be for somebody else. And you give me that shut off thing. You go numb. You want to get it out of the forefront of your mind. Maybe you're trying to put it out of your mind. Maybe this is about something that we used to live, but we've placed it behind us and we're not living it anymore.
But we should not rebel. The Bible talks about those that cast thy law behind their backs. Let me say this. Number 7, we should not rebel by attacking the one who called us on our rebellion. Nehemiah 9:26, it says, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled. And then the last part of the verse says this, and slew thy prophets which testified against them. In other words, what this is saying is the preacher got up and preached on your rebellion, and you attacked the preacher because he preached on your rebellion. I would be careful, any of you that teach or preach or in a position of authority. People will get mad at you instead of mad at God. I mean, you can give them a scripture and say, right there is what the Bible says, and they'll end up mad at you. Please just always remember, I didn't write the book. My job is to preach the book. Now, I want to give you quickly, and I promise you, I will hurry, but my last point has a number of little bits and pieces underneath it, and it's this. I want to tell you the results of rebellion. And we hear about rebellion all the time, and I realize that, but we need to hear about it again. It's something we have to constantly battle in regard to. But let me give you some of the results. The Bible says that if we're rebellious, the hand of the Lord will be against us. 1 Samuel 12:15 says, but if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you. Listen, that almost says to me, you rebel against God, your life will get backhanded. The hand of the Lord will be against you. God's hands are big hands. God's hands are strong hands. God's hands are capable hands. Nathaniel McLean's hands are big hands. If you've never shaken hands with Nathaniel McLean, I mean, it's like shaking hands with a moose. You know, I like to, I would like to be able to, palm a basketball. He can palm a swimming pool. I mean, the guy's... Well, let me warn you about something. God's hands are big hands. The Bible says, you rebel, God's hand will be against you. You say, I feel like something just broadsided me and knocked the snot out of me. It might have been God backhanding you. Let me tell you, God also pronounces a woe upon rebellion. Hosea 7, verse 13 and 14 says, woe unto them, for they have fled from me, destruction unto them. All the way at the end, he's talking about they rebelled against me. So you understand rebellion. God pronounces a woe on those that rebel. The word woe there is a word of alarm. God is saying, watch out! It's a word of warning. I grew up in a little town in central Indiana. There's a valley there called Massinawa Valley, and tornadoes come through there often during tornado season. Our local fire department, when a tornado warning would hit, the fire department alarm would go off and everybody knew destruction was on its way. And when it went off, we all went to the basement or we went to wherever we were supposed to go because tornadoes came through all the time. Let me explain. You rebel against God and God says, whoa, that's the tornado alarm of God saying you better watch out. The tornado named God's coming through. It's a word signifying a preemptive strike. God is saying, whoa, watch out, here I come. That's what God says to the rebel. Not only that, I believe God's anger comes upon the rebel. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 42 and 43 says, we have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Get that. God said, I will come at you with anger and I will persecute you. Goodness. So you all understand, his anger is as strong as his love. Some people say, well, God's all love. No, the Bible says God's got hate, too. There's a balance in our God. I just recommend this. If you're a rebel, don't make God angry. Say, why? Well, ask the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Ask the people in the day of Noah's flood. God is a God of that. God has God can have anger and it is controlled and it's not sinful, but God's anger can come upon you. If God pronounces a woe, you better watch out. He has a powerful hand. And God said, my anger could be put upon you. And God said that I can persecute you. And we're talking about persecution from God. Why? Because of rebellion. I was reading and studying for this sermon, and I found that also one of those things that can happen to you is that you'll begin to feel like you're surrounded by enemies if you have a rebellious attitude or spirit. Feel like you're surrounded by enemies. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, it says, "As keepers of a field, are they against her round about because she hath been rebellious against me?" It says here that someone had been rebellious and they felt that round about them were all these enemies. I just feel surrounded by enemies. My enemies, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. What brought that on? Rebellion brought it on.
Yes, sir.
Your rebellion against God will play with your emotional security.
Yes.
You'll be paranoid. Everybody's against me. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I don't fit in. It might be that you have a rebellious spirit.
Yes, sir.
And that's not necessarily true. But you'll feel that way. The Bible tells us that rebellion can cause us to fall, or there'll be a lack of blessing in our life. Listen to this. Numbers chapter 20, verse number 24, it says, "Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land." Later on it says, "Because you rebelled against my word." If we rebel, we begin to suffer failure in different areas of life. If you rebel against God, you can suffer financial failure. You rebel against God, you'll suffer relationship failures. You rebel against God, you'll suffer influence failures. To the point that you rebel against God, you can lose your health. If it gets bad enough, you can lose your life. Just so you know, you say, "Well, I don't, Brother Owens, I don't think that I'm not a nasty, nasty, wicked, vile rebel, and I'm not out sleeping around and getting drunk, and I'm not that wicked. I'm that far away from God." Who told you you had to rebel to that point for God to take you out? Let's base God taking you out on how high you've climbed and how much you know and how much you ought to be doing right and how far away from that you are. You see, it may not be that we get this idea of what we think the nasty, filthy scum of the earth, God take you out of this thing. We've got an attitude of what we think qualifies for that. I don't know that that's true. It may be based on how much God expects of you, how well you have been trained, how well you know how to live, and then how far are you from what you ought to be. But here the Bible says that Aaron was not going to enter into the promised land because of his rebellion. And then finally, this one ought to just scare us all to death. You rebel enough, God may cut off your help. He may cut off your help. The Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 11 and 12, "Because they rebelled against the word of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor." He, God, brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. None to help. God said, "You rebel against me enough, you may find yourself on the outside with no help." Now, other Christians are not to make this call. I don't say to someone that's a rebel, "You don't get any help." No, I'll try to help. But God has a way of saying that's it. God may not want to sacrifice any of his people to come into the midst of your rebellious nature. You might find everybody retracting, saying, "Good night, got to stay away from that. Don't want to be involved in that." God's the one that makes the call, but God makes it very clear here. He said, "Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help them up." Hey, when people are trying to help you up, when the preaching of the word of God's trying to help you up, when people that love you are trying to help you up, you better get up, because there may come a point when God said, "That's it. That's it." And you and I as Christians don't make that call about somebody else. God does. But it's obvious in the scripture there comes a point when God said, "That's it. That's it." God could say, "All help stops now." Wow. That ought to scare us. That ought to scare us. You see, rebellion means that the hand of the Lord could be against us. It means that God pronounces a woe upon our life. God's anger could come upon us and God's persecution could come upon us. We'll feel like we're surrounded by enemies. The things that we do are not successful. And we could get down to the point where God said, you've rejected the Holy Spirit. You've rejected the Word of God. You've rejected the preacher. You've rejected those that try to help you. And you won't do it. And you're going to continue to rebel. God will say, we're just going back out of this thing. You didn't lose your salvation, but you lost everything else. And you could.
Yes, sir.
You could very easily. I've watched people that were high on the mountaintop with God many, many years later as a process of, and some because of internal thought rebellion.
Yes.
I've watched them at the very bottom. They've lost their husbands. They've lost their kids. They've lost everything that they ever dreamed of. They lost their wives. They lost everything they ever dreamed of. They didn't lose their salvation, but they lost everything else. Why? Because inside them was a root of rebellion.
Yes.
They didn't get it taken care of. The passage was, God setteth a solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Let's not live in a dry land. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. May I recommend to you that you get born again. We're going to have an altar call. If you need to be saved, you come. The men sitting on this platform will be standing at the lower level. If you're not saved, during the invitation, you come. Walk up to one of the men and say, I want to be born again. If you're here tonight and God spoke to your heart, this message in regard to rebellion. You know, I say this and the wrong person's going to misunderstand it. There's some of you, I've never watched you walk the aisle in this church. Maybe, are you too good for that? You may need the altar for a moment. You say, I don't feel like I've done anything. You may need it because of pride. Watch out for rebellion. Watch out for it. Have you rebelled against the Holy Spirit? Is it internal? Do you spend your time cloaking what is really going on inside you? God knows. God knows. Watch out. Is your life like a desert? Watch for that rebellion. I'll ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. Rebellion. Attitude rebellion. Internal. You got everybody fooled. They just think you're the bearing. But on the inside of you, there's rebellion against the Holy Spirit. There's rebellion against the church. There's rebellion against your pastor. It's there. You think you've got everybody fooled, but you don't have God fooled. Sooner or later, your internal rebellion is going to come out, and a lot of people will be disappointed. But you're going to hurt yourself. Time the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of you where you didn't know you were going to make it to the invitation time before you got down here and got on your face and got something right with God? Or does that not happen to you? You've heard so much preaching. You've been at it so long. You're such a good professional Christian. That really doesn't happen to you anymore. It'll take better preaching than what happens around here for that happen to you. But the rebellious dwell. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. And have rebelled even by departing from his precepts. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. They rebelled against my commandments, he said. They rebelled and vexed my Holy Spirit. They are rebellious and take counsel but not of me. Oh, it's a rebellious people after their own thoughts. They're rebellious. They will not hear the Word of God. They rebelled and cast things behind their back, the things of the Lord. They rebelled and slew the prophet that testified against them. Like witchcraft. Rebellion. get it to the point where there's almost a demonic way about you. And you won't. I don't believe that your body can possess a demon if you're saved, but you can have a lot of demonic influence around you because of rebellion. Congregation.